Isaiah is a great prophet of the Lord. I tell you what, I like to read in the book of Isaiah. Turn over to chapter 42, first of all. Isaiah chapter 42, look down at verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Now flip over to chapter 45. Chapter 45 of Isaiah. And look down at verse 21. In the last part of verse 21, it says, and there is no God else besides me. You ought to underline that. There's no God but God, folks. A just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. And then look at the invitation. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Everybody's invited to be saved. Amen? Y'all see that? For I am God, and there is none else. Now, over the last few Sundays, I've been talking about the mystery of life, the mystery of death, the mystery of heaven, the mystery of hell. Today, I think one Sunday we talked about the mystery of iniquity or lawlessness. Y'all been discussing that today about the lawlessness in our communities. Today I'm going to talk about the mystery of God. How many of y'all have ever seen God? How many of y'all seen the oxygen you're breathing? Just because you hadn't seen God doesn't mean He's not. And just because you don't see oxygen doesn't mean there's oxygen. Because if there wasn't, you'd be like that man that helped rescue those boys the other day. He ran out of oxygen. He died. There was a God, folks. He's a real God. Just like oxygen, your breathing is real. Without it, you won't live. And God is the maker of the oxygen, by the way. Amen. Do you ever wonder where God came from? We know that everything has a beginning, so where did God come from? Well, the answer is, you ready for the answer? He came from nowhere. There's nowhere for God to go because He's already everywhere. Amen? He's omnipresent. There's no place anywhere but what God is already there. That's awesome to think about, folks. Amen. The greatness of God Almighty. There's so much mystery about Him. And even though we have the Bible, when we get to heaven, I think we're just going to find out how little we do know. There's so much more to know about our Creator, our Maker. Well, who was God's mama and daddy? God had no mama or daddy. Cause, every cause, they say, has a beginning. Except for God. Everything has a cause for beginning except for God. God has always been. God didn't even make Himself. He's just always been. Now that's a mystery, isn't it? That'll make your brain get all tangled up. And we're going to get to live with Him one day if we trust His Son. And I got a feeling that it's not going to be far off. God is the only eternal one or thing. There was a time there was nothing but God. Nothing else. Not even space. Not even angelic creatures. Just God. How long was he like that? I don't know. He's always been. I don't know what point he decided to make the universe and all things in it. God is a spirit being. He's intangible. He's the creator and supreme ruler of this universe. He's really ruling the universe today. Things aren't out of control. But to you and to me, everything looks like it's out of control, don't it? It's not with God. God's got it all under control. No man has ever seen God, but God, listen to me, is a knowable God. Nobody's ever seen him, but you can know him.
Amen.
He's a knowable God. He said, if you seek me, you'll find me. If, there's an if there. You search for me with all your heart. There was a time in my life I put that thing to the test. I said, if any man ever knew God, I'm going to know God. I know God. But I tell you what, I cried all night long. Words can't explain. I know God today. But I searched for him. I found him. I don't have any questions about it. He's real. I like what Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is thy refuge. You want a safe hiding place? God is it. God's a safe hiding place. He's a place of security. And by the way, that's the only place of security there is. There's no other place of real security except in Christ. The psalmist referred to God in Psalm 90 and verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God is. He's your maker, my maker. Isaiah observed that God inhabits eternity in Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabited eternity, whose name is holy. God is not only God, he's a holy God. And he's more holy than you and I can even comprehend. He's holy. He's so holy that the angels around his throne cry night and day from earth's terminology, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He's that holy that angelic creatures are crying he's holy all the time. He's more holy than you can imagine. He can't even look on sin. In Psalm 102, verses 26 and 27, the psalmist said, of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish. The heavens are going to perish. They've been up there a long time, folks. They've been doing the same thing for thousands of years now. But they're going to perish. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. That describes God by the hand of the psalmist. God does not change. He's the same God. He's always been, and he won't change now nor ever. He'll always be holy. He'll always be God, the eternal God. But he is going to revamp this universe. Peter said he's going to melt it down. Get rid of all the pollutions of sin that evil men have put on it. What infinite wisdom and power to create the world out of nothing. That's my God. He made it out of nothing. How do you take nothing to make something? Only God can do it. And he's our God if we've trusted in his Son. Our finite minds struggle to understand this infinite, eternal God. I remember when I was about that high, and Mama told me there was a God looking down on us. I was running around in the backyard. I still remember just as clear. I was about that high. Yeah, I used to be about that high. Amen. About like that little boy back there. And Mama said, God's up there looking down on us. And I'd look and I'd look. I remember this. Y'all ever did that? I couldn't see him. But you know what? He saw me. He was looking at me. In the Genesis says in 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. In John 1, verses 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. God made everything. Now, if he made everything, what does that mean? He owns it all, don't he? He owns it all. God told Moses in Exodus 3:14, God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am have sent me unto you. God told Moses to go to the Pharaoh and tell them that God sent him. Told Israel first, then he'd go to tell Pharaoh the same message. God is the self-existent, eternal one who has always existed. He will always exist. The eternal God made everything, and he made it for himself. He says in Psalms 50 and verse 10, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. And Brother Walter Burrow many years ago said, and he owns the taters in the hills. Amen? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. In Revelation 4:11, John the Apostle wrote, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure, for God's pleasure, they are and were created. God made everything for his own pleasure. God liked pleasure too. And the Bible says at God's right hand is pleasures forevermore for us who believe in him. If you really want to have pleasure forever, we're in a pleasure hungry world. But if you really want real pleasure, get saved, and in heaven you'll enjoy them forevermore. Amen? Praise the Lord. The eternal God is going to judge all the angels and man one day. God's got a judgment day set up on his calendar. And we're getting close to it. Abraham said, speaking to the Lord before the Lord was to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, where Lot was at, Abraham said, shall not the judge of the earth do right? God will not judge the righteous with the wicked. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? God's not going to have a judgment day for everybody that's trusted Christ to condemn us, to criticize us, to embarrass us. He's not got a judgment day for that. He's got a judgment day to see how faithfully we served him. Now then, we might be ashamed then because we didn't serve him like we should have. But his purpose was not to make us ashamed. We'll be ashamed because of our own shortcomings. But the people that refuse to accept his son, folks, that's going to be the most horrible judgment. It's going to be terrifying. All these people today that don't fear God, they're going to be shaking in their boots if they had any. Because there's no hope for them. They don't even have a spark of hope. They can't bargain with God then. Bargaining days is over. God has given us the scriptures, the word of God. We will find that it contains all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Everything you need to know about how to live in this world is in that book in your lap, the Word of God. It tells you how to live, where you'll be blessed by God, and one day received into God's presence. It's the only book like that that exists. No other religious book will make you right with God except this book. Other religious books may give you a good moral life here, but there's no salvation in them. Only the Bible is God's Word. It's the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of the living God, folks. And when you read it, it's the same thing as, like I'm talking to you right now, God is talking to you. The same way when you read his word. It's straight from his mouth. Paul said in Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. We need to study this book. I just wish to God I had a better mind to comprehend it and to hold on to it. I mean, I read these verses like I just read for our text today about God, and it's just as refreshing and exciting as the first time I ever read it about God. And when we have Christmas or Easter and those programs, it's just as exciting and real as the first time. God's Word is a living Word. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If there's anything we need in the pulpits today is people to rightly divide this old book. Me and Faye had someone almost stand us down right here the other day. That you interpret the Bible the way you want to interpret it. That's essentially what they were saying. Right here. Let me tell you something. This old book says it's of no private interpretation. You begin to interpret it the way you want to interpret it, you're going to wind up in hell. As a result of God's everlasting existence, he's the creator of everything, Isaiah 42:5 says. Thus saith the Lord God, he that created the heavens and stretched them out. Listen to that. God made the heavens and stretched them out. And we send spaceships out into space, and they've been traveling for years. Some of them 40 and 50 years they're traveling. They hadn't come. They still send God's heavens out there. They can't even get out of the little galaxy we're living in, and they's billions more just like it and bigger. He stretched it out. And God is bigger than the creation. Amen. Folks, our God is something else, folks. I tell you what, all I can say is what a God he is. What a God he is. Evolutionists believe in the eternity of matter. They believe this matter has always been here. How can anybody with any kind of education believe such, that this always existed? Something's got to make it. Because of their unbelief, these atheistic men take this kind of position. They don't want to believe they got to stand before God one day. That's what it is. That's what it is. Let me tell you something. Just believe it that way is not going to make it that way. Just because you don't believe fire is hot, you stick your hand in it, and you can sing all day, it's not hot, it's not hot. The wreck you're looking, you won't have no hand because it'll burn it off. Amen? Amen. On the other hand, Bible believers believe in the eternity of the Lord. We believe in the eternal existence of the Lord God. God is the one who formed us. Isaiah 43:10 says, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there is no God formed, neither shall there be after me. There's not going to be another God coming on the scene to take over the eternal God. Amen? He's going to always be God. We've seen that tried once in the past. Remember that, when Lucifer thought he could be God, take God off the throne, and he was going to sit on it himself? He didn't get very far, did he? How can a created thing take over the Creator? Ain't going to happen, folks. Everything came from God, and God made it from nothing, as I said. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Hebrews 11:3. People can't explain how God made the world, but God gave us enough information. If you want to read the first two verses of Genesis, or first two chapters of Genesis, God said how he made the world, and I believe it, every word of it. God spoke it all into existence, since there was nothing here before him. And there's no such thing as the eternity of matter. That's a philosophy that came from hell and the devil's crowd. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babbling and oppositions of science, falsely so-called. Today, some of these educated people call it science. Paul says it's falsely so-called. Only a fool would examine the visible things and finding creation and conclude that there is no God. In Romans 1:20-22, that great passage, Paul wrote, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Man's without excuse, folks. There is a God. And just believing there's not is not going to make him go away. That's foolish thinking. God is. God made everything. God made you. Now think about it. God made you just the way you are. He didn't ask you where you wanted to be born at and to who you would be born to. He didn't ask you if you wanted blue eyes, black eyes, or green eyes. It was God's business to make you like He wanted you. He made you a male or a female. He didn't make you in between. The devil's got all this other mess going on today. That's of the devil. You know why the devil's doing that? To spite God. And also to deceive people. People are being deceived out of their soul by the truckloads today. Because they won't listen to this old book here. Or they won't go to where somebody that knows this book is true is preaching the book. Some just want to go to a place to hoop and holler. Or jump pews. There's a God and He's a real God. Everything made that was made, He made it. And God made you, and He's got the best plan there is for your life. And the only way you're going to find out the best plan is for you and me to go to Him and surrender to Him and let Him do with us what He wants to do. And it won't be bad. It amazes me the different talents God has given to people. It just amazes me. I look at some of these people that can do so much, and I don't know how to do nothing. When I need something done, I call Mr. Chapis. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Or sometime I have to call Bill back there. Amen. Amen. Bill, you can look up anytime, son. I'll call you sometime. It's good to have somebody you can call, ain't it, folks? You know, God don't give everybody the same kind of talents and abilities. That'd be a dull world if everybody was a dishwasher, wouldn't it? We got to have somebody to cook besides me. Amen? Come on, wake up. Amen. In John, God's Gospel 1:3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, John said, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, with His Son, Jesus Christ. Boy, it's just good to be able to enjoy the Lord. To know the Lord is your Lord. That no matter what happens. Faye had a doctor's appointment in Fayetteville Thursday. And I was talking to Junior before that. And I don't know a thing about Fayetteville. And that's too much what I knew. But anyway, I had to take her to this doctor's appointment. Junior said, "You want to borrow my truck with this GPS system?" I said, "No, I wouldn't know how to operate that thing." Anyway, we just asked the Lord to guide us before we left home. Did you know what? Junior, I didn't even have to do like you did. You had to talk to it. I didn't even have to do that. The Lord just guided us right straight to it. Right straight to it, Brother Javis. I didn't even have to make a payment on the All-Star thing. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. I'm bragging on God. Is that all right? It's all right to brag on God. Amen. Amen. And my wife, she wanted to go to Belk. She got to primp a little bit, you know, or something over there. And I went into that worldly place. Good God, at the worldliness in that place. We finally got out of there. And she wanted to go to Sam's. Well, we don't have a Sam's card, but she's part Jew, I believe. She went up to the manager and said, "Would you give me a one-day shopping spree?" You know what? She let us go in there and load up a cart and come out without a membership, Brother Chavin. She's a Jew. Hey, and I done pretty good driving in that sin-sick world. Once in a while, somebody blew the horn at me to get out. But we got home without any bit fenders. Praise God. I'm bragging on God a little bit today. Because He is God. And He looks after us, folks. We ought to enjoy Him. Amen? The Apostle Paul makes it clear about creation to the church of Colossae. For all things were created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things. And by Him all things consist. Do you know God is holding everything together? I just stand amazed when I see a big old airplane go over. God's holding it up there, folks. I saw the moon this morning. And it was way over there, just about to go down. It was just a little sliver. God's holding it up there. And then here come old Saul coming up. God's holding it up there. And you know, if God didn't keep it at the right distance, we'd either get cooked or freeze to death. God keeps it at the right distance. Isn't that amazing, folks? God's doing all that, and we ain't paying no attention to Him as the human family. Moses really summed up in the first four words of the Bible when he said, "In the beginning, God." God's always been, folks. Amen? God never changes. God also never changes or grows old. You get your yearbook from school and look when you were in the first grade. And then look in the 12th grade. And now go look in the mirror now. You've changed. Amen? You've changed. And you're going to keep changing. They tell me that our body changes every 7 years. Amen? Have you ever noticed that everything around you changes? Well, if we were going down the highway, they said, "Everything looks different in Fayetteville. I ain't been here since I don't know when." Everything changes. People and animals change. They grow old. Trees grow old and die. Even trees die. Even rocks eventually disintegrate. But God never changes. Malachi 3:6, listen to this. You ought to mark this in your Bible. For I am the Lord. I change not. God's not going to change in any manner. He's always the same. He's going to always be the same. He's the same as He's always been. This is why we can depend on Him. Because He never changes His mind or go backs on His promise. You know, you've been saved. You'll never get unsaved. Isn't that great? You were born one day. You can't get unborn. Amen? You can't get unsaved either. Now, you may go and live like a devil for a while, but you as God's child, He'll beat the far out of you. Amen? He'll beat the far out of you. You'll wish you hadn't went out and done wrong. God can really put the board to us. He knows how. But here's what I want to talk to you about as I close. This is important. God loves you. That this awesome God that's so great, that's eternal, loves you more than words can say. Who can describe the love of God? The most important truth about God is He loves you. And He wants you to know Him and be His friend. How do we know this? Because God sent His only Son into the world to show that He loves us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16 states. What a verse in the Bible. that tells us about God's love for people. He wants everybody to be saved. I see people that's evil. I see people that's needy. I see people in all kind of conditions, situations. We see it on TV, read it in the news, and God loves every single one of them like He loves you. Isn't that amazing? He's a God of love. But God commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, that's the human family, Christ died for us in Romans 5 and verse 8. That's one of the most precious verses in the Bible. While we were still the enemies of God, God sent His Son to die for us. In 1 Timothy 1:17, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. We ought to praise God while we have breath, while we live in here. We ought to exalt God. We ought to testify we believe in God, that we love God and serve God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Psalm 73:1, truly God is good to Israel, even as such as are of a clean heart. Let me tell you something. God has been good to Israel, but God's been good to you too. God's been good to you too. God gave you a chance to get saved. God sent His Son to die for you. God is providing for you. God is allowing you to hear His word even today of how great He is, how good He is, and how much He loves you. But Israel disobeyed God. God was good to Israel, but Israel disobeyed God. Now you look what God had to do to Israel when His people disobeyed Him. How that nation has suffered because of their disobedience. You can be a child of God, but you disobey the Lord, you'll pay for it. You'll pay for it. You'll pay dearly. God will take you to the woodshed because He loves you. I grew up and there was four of us children. My mama looked at us and she said, if you do this when I get home, You know what? When we got home, mama never ever forgot. She never forgot. She'd deal with us. God don't want to judge any of us. He don't want to chasten us. But if we disobey Him, He will. He will. If we fail to live and obey God, it's going to cost us. You can't get out of it. It's going to cost you. You stop reading your Bible. You stop praying. You stop going to church. God will deal with you. Because when you fail to those things, you're automatically going over into the enemy's territory, where the devil's going to deceive you, take advantage of you. God is still saving sinners, folks. What a mystery that holy God would save sinful man. What a mystery about God. He'd want to save this human race and the kind of people we all are. We all just alike. Sinners. Every one of us. All those who know they are sinful, God will save if they ask for salvation in Christ. God is providing salvation by the death of His only Son. Oh, what a payment for sin. God made it for himself, for all of us. God's already made it. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That means you put your trust in Christ because you know you're lost and you need salvation. And the Bible says if you'll accept God's Son as your Savior, you have everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. How sad. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you really honestly called on the Lord for salvation? If not, why not? It's free. It's free. Nobody has ever regretted getting saved that I ever heard tell of. You ever heard of anybody regretting getting saved and going to heaven? No. No. Believe on the Lord Jesus. Trust him. Love him. Serve him. Share him. You won't ever regret it. Loving God, speak to our hearts. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this opportunity you let me share the Holy Scriptures about the eternal God that loves us all so very much. Deal with every heart. Cause every heart to know they can come to you and pour out their request. They can come to you and make their petitions and challenge all of us, Lord, as we live in these evil, wicked times, Lord, to be faithful, serving our God and sharing our God. Bless our church here, Lord. Lord, bless it for your holy name's sake. For your name's sake, bless it, Lord. Not for mine, but for your name, bless it. To be a blessing to others, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The altar's open always at Country Bible Baptist. You can come bow before the Lord, talk to the Lord, make your request to the Lord. Come pray for those in our salvation box.